This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 299 of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Here's a summary of some of the latest developments in Gaza and the region, and we'll also share some reportage highlights from the Electronic Intifada's contributors there. Hamas announced early this morning that Ismail Haniyeh, the head of the Palestinian faction's political wing, was assassinated in Tehran, where he was present for the inauguration of the new Iranian president. Al Jazeera journalist Ismail Al-Ghul took these photos earlier today of children standing in the rubble of Haniyeh's home in Shati refugee camp, bidding him farewell. And just about 2 hours ago, after he took photos and reported live from the area, it was confirmed that Israel bombed the area where journalists had gathered. Ismail Al-Ghul was killed, along with cameraman Rami Al-Rafi. Hamas Politburo leader Ismail Haniyeh was assassinated after Israel bombed southern Beirut on Tuesday. Our senior editor, Maureen Claire Murphy, reports that the strike on the southern part of the city was an anticipated retaliation from Tel Aviv after a projectile killed 12 children at a sports field in Majdal Shams, a city in the Israeli-occupied Syrian Golan Heights, on Saturday. Israel blamed Hezbollah, but the Lebanese resistance group denied having any connection to the deadly blast. The Israeli military claimed that it targeted Fuad Shukr, a senior Hezbollah commander. Israel said that Shukr was killed, but Arabic language media said his fate remained unknown until late Tuesday. In Gaza on Saturday, an Israeli airstrike hit yet another school housing thousands of displaced Palestinians, this time in Deir al-Balah, killing at least 30 people, most of them women and children. Israel claimed to have hit a Hamas command center, which the resistance faction denied. This video is from the immediate aftermath of the bombing on the Khadija school.
Khadija! Ya Allah! Ya la ilaha illallah! Ya Allah! Ya Rabb al-madrasa! Ya Rabb! Arja! Ya Rabb!
Our senior editor, Maureen Claire Murphy, reported that Saturday's massacre of civilians displaced from their homes came 3 days after Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu boasted during his speech at the U.S. Congress that the offensive in Gaza has, quote, one of the lowest ratios of combatants to non-combatant casualties in the history of urban warfare. Journalists with the Associated Press, quote, saw a dead toddler in an ambulance and bodies covered with blankets. Shattered walls gaped and classrooms were in ruins, the agency added. People searched the rubble strewn with pillows and other signs of habitation. Also on Saturday, nearly two dozen Palestinians were killed in Khan Yunis in southern Gaza, according to the health ministry in Gaza, while the Israeli military ordered a new evacuation in part of Al-Mawasi, the coastal area in southern Gaza that it had unilaterally declared a humanitarian zone. Maureen adds that Israel has attacked Al-Mawasi multiple times, and Palestinians, many displaced again and again over the past several months, have been packed into the area with no infrastructure and little resources to support them. Our contributor Abu Bakr Abed recounts the Israeli attack on Khadija Girls School in Deir al-Balah on Saturday. He writes that the school is next to his home, and from there he was, quote, able to follow what was happening there. But I wish I hadn't been able to, he writes. The things I witnessed will never fade from my mind. Our street turned into a scene of pure terror. I saw a child whose head had been pierced by shrapnel. Both the child and his father were bleeding to death. I saw a baby's head and chest split apart. I saw a man's body full of wounds. I saw a daughter weeping beside her mother. The agony was indescribable. My heart is smashed. Abu Bakr adds that, quote, many people who were wounded could not be rescued. Everyone in the school was searching for their loved ones. I am thankful that my family and I survived, but I do not believe I will survive another attack. He sent us this video of a third rocket hitting the school on Saturday. This is from Abu Bakr. That was from Abu Bakr Abed. Khaloud Rabah Suleiman, meanwhile, recounted for the Electronic Intifada that the school attacked by Israel on Saturday had been, quote, transformed into a field hospital during the earlier stages of the current genocidal war. She quoted Mohammed Abu Saif, an eyewitness to the immediate aftermath of the carnage. I saw women and men carrying patients who had been injured previously during the war, Mohammed said. These patients were receiving treatment in the school. Now they were being brought to the hospital. The scene inside the school was horrifying. There were body parts in the corridors. It quickly became apparent that most of those killed were women and children. One girl had been split into two. Mohammed learned that the wife of his friend had been killed. She had just given birth. Her newborn baby could not be found. As the rescue operation was taking place, a neighbor received a phone call. The caller ordered that the school be evacuated within 10 minutes. Soon afterwards, the school was struck with two more missiles. The school was completely destroyed. The Gaza government media office said that most of the wounded were transferred to Al-Aqsa Hospital in Khan Yunis, which is only partially functional and had to cope with a new mass casualty influx as a result. On Tuesday, after the Israeli army withdrew from areas in the central Gaza Strip, armed drones bombed Palestinians who were recovering the bodies of civilians who were killed during the attacks on Khan Yunis. Quds News Network reported that the drone attack targeted Palestinians using a donkey cart to carry the bodies, killing at least 10 people and wounding dozens more. Gaza's Civil Defense Corps stated on Tuesday that following the withdrawal of the Israeli forces from Khan Yunis, they recovered more than 250 bodies so far and were still searching for more under the rubble of more than 30 homes that were bombed over the last week. Maureen Claire Murphy reported yesterday that the Israeli military also bulldozed the cemetery in Bani Suhaila and its surroundings on the eastern outskirts of Khan Yunis. For much more, read Maureen Claire Murphy's latest reports, plus Abu Bakr Abed's feature, A Massacre Beside My Home, and Khaloud Rabah Suleiman's latest Israeli school attack shocks Gaza, all on electronicintifada.net. Palestinians are being subjected to continuous mass displacement across Gaza. The United Nations Site Management Working Group stated this past week that tens of thousands of people continue to experience new waves of internal displacement due to repeated evacuation orders by the Israeli military. Between July 22nd and 27th alone, the working group estimated that more than 200,000 Palestinians were displaced, including 9,000 people who arrived in Al-Mawasi on Saturday. This video shows Palestinians evacuating from Burej refugee camp on Sunday. The UN Agency for Palestine Refugees noted that, quote, people in Gaza are exhausted. Almost every day they are forced to flee their makeshift shelters with nowhere safe to go, with 86% of the entire Gaza Strip now under evacuation orders. Philippe Lazzarini, the head of the UN agency, has stated that, quote, every other day the Israeli authorities issue these orders forcing people to flee, creating havoc and panic. Quite often people have just a few hours to pack whatever they can and start all over again, mostly on foot or on a crowded donkey cart for those who can afford it. A man told our UNRWA teams recently that he was forced to flee twice within 10 hours. People continue to search for safety, the most precious, the most non-existent. Not one of Gaza's 36 hospitals is fully functional anymore. The World Health Organization stated this week that of the 16 partially functional hospitals left in the Gaza Strip, 11 are partially accessible due to insecurity or physical barriers, such as damage to both patient and ambulance entrances and surrounding roads. The WHO added that there have been no functioning hospitals in Rafah for more than 7 weeks, jeopardizing access to health for approximately 20,000 Palestinians who are in the southern governorate. At the same time, the average daily volume of humanitarian aid cargo entering Gaza has decreased by 56% since April, the UN said. Quote, while the decimation of the health system and continuous relocation orders are causing severe overcrowding and stretching already constrained resources, exponentially increasing the risk of waterborne and infectious disease. Bushra Khalidi, a spokesperson for the aid organization Oxfam, spoke to the BBC about the aid cargo crisis and its direct impact on Palestinians in Gaza. She spoke on the same day that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu addressed the U.S. Congress, July 25th.
We have been blocked consistently in trying to access food, latrines, wash materials. We actually put out a report last week that found that the Israeli military has destroyed key Oxfam infrastructure that is essential for water and sanitation services in Gaza. We talk about in the report the impact that this has on the public health crisis in Gaza at the moment. We've heard of polio being detected in water. It's not even the lack of sanitation. Is that sanitation is non-existent in Gaza at the moment. We've seen children, 34 children, die of starvation in a place where people were not, you know, on the brink of famine 9 months ago. We've seen the most horrific images coming out of Gaza, and yet, you know, none of this was mentioned. We are of the view that it's wildly inappropriate to have extended an invitation for Prime Minister Netanyahu to speak. It lends legitimacy to what is happening in Gaza and to what we're hearing every single day and what we're experiencing working as humanitarian workers here in the field every single day. And, you know, many outright dishonest statements, really.
That was Bushra Khalidi of Oxfam speaking to the BBC. In the past 2 weeks, as we've reported, the virus that causes polio has been detected in Gaza. On Monday, the Palestinian Health Ministry officially declared a polio epidemic caused by Israel's 10 months of genocide, saying that the disease, quote, poses a health threat to the residents of Gaza and neighboring countries. Al Jazeera reported that the ministry called for an immediate intervention to end the Israeli aggression and find radical solutions to the lack of potable water and access to personal hygiene products, as well as damaged sewage networks and removal of tons of garbage and solid waste. Both the health ministry and the World Health Organization called the epidemic a setback to the global polio eradication program. The UN Health Agency said on Tuesday that it was very likely that polio has infected Palestinians in Gaza. WHO's spokesperson Margaret Harris said that the polio variant spreads due to lack of access to vaccinations. She said, quote, it's actually a variant that developed originally a long time ago. Wherever we see it pop up, we do a big vaccination response to it, and that usually shuts it down. But we have to have the security. We have to have the means of getting the vaccine into Gaza and to the children. Vaccines are no good if they're sitting in a vial or sitting in a truck. So there is an answer, but the answer is we need a ceasefire. The WHO stated that it is planning on sending more than a million polio vaccines to Gaza, and that the vaccines should be administered to children in the coming weeks. That is, if Israel allows access. In addition to the detection of the polio virus, there has been an increase in cases of hepatitis A and other diseases across Gaza. Al Jazeera's Hind Kudari, reporting from Deir Abala, said, quote, this is only the start of the wave of diseases the Gaza Strip is going to face. Palestinians have been living in makeshift tents without any bathrooms, without any hygiene, without access to water, sanitation. Sewage is everywhere, she said. In her article published last night, our senior editor Maureen Claire Murphy reports that, quote, in yet another case of Israeli soldiers destroying civilian infrastructure for no military purpose, soldiers recently recorded themselves detonating Canada Well, the main water facility in Rafah, southern Gaza. The Tel Aviv Daily Haaretz reported on Monday that the facility, quote, was destroyed last week with the approval of the commander of the soldiers, but without the approval of senior officers. But Maureen adds, that may be just a ploy to deter the scrutiny of international courts from higher ranking military personnel in a situation where the evidence on the ground indicates that soldiers are ordered to destroy essential infrastructure. Israel has destroyed more than 30 water wells in Khan Yunis and Rafah during the month of July alone. Maureen also highlighted a new report by the Palestinian Center for Human Rights, which says that around 14,000 sick and injured patients, most of them children and older people, require care that is not available in Gaza. The rights group said on Sunday that the ongoing closure of Gaza's crossings, preventing the travel of urgent and life-saving cases, makes clear Israel's commission of genocide against the people of the Gaza Strip. Quote, "Those who have not been killed by Israel's war machine are not spared by the complete Israeli siege and closure on Gaza," the rights group said, leaving thousands of wounded and sick doomed to certain death. And Israel's continuing to prevent the entry of basic necessities such as menstrual products into the Gaza Strip. According to journalist Maha Husseini, a displaced woman she says she met in a UN school in Deir al-Balah this week, told Maha that, quote, she has been cutting her children's diapers and using them as sanitary pads. For around a month now, Maha says, Israel has been banning the entry of hygiene and cleaning products into the Gaza Strip, including napkins, toilet paper, sanitary pads, shampoo, soap, etc. She says, we literally sometimes roam the streets for hours looking for one roll of toilet paper. And finally, we wanted to bring you some images and videos from journalists and others in Gaza that highlight the resilience, joy, and determination of the Palestinian people. This photo is by the Gaza-based photographer Ibrahim Nofal on Twitter, or X at Nofal_I. We featured one of his photos last week. He captioned this one with, "He is fleeing death and fleeing into the unknown, but the smile does not leave his face and the victory sign is raised here in Gaza." Journalist Hossam Shabat, who reports from northern Gaza, took this photo of himself with his colleagues with the caption, "Much love from me and my comrades from North Gaza. We're still here and still reporting." And a member of the skateboarding crew Gaza Skate Team organized an event for children this week. He says in the video, "As you know, even under the events of the genocide that we're living in, we're still determined to skate. The kids encouraged me to skate on rollerblades today, so I'll be skating for them." Of course, more kids joined in. "Let me show you the crowd," he says, and encourages the kids to raise their hands in the air before performing some tricks for them. That was from the Gaza Skate Team on Instagram. And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.